Let's take our Bibles, turn over to Genesis chapter 16. Genesis chapter 16. Glad to be in the house of God. Glad you're here. As we look in Genesis chapter 16, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. As we look into Genesis chapter 16 this morning, pray that the Lord's blessed you and got you here safely today. And as we look, we start at verse 1 of Genesis chapter 16. I usually allot for a long time for people to turn their Bibles and things like that, but not for Genesis. I just have found out that even people who do not know God, never been in church, they know Genesis is at the start of the Bible for some reason. I don't know why that is. I spent 24 years lost on planet Earth, and if they'd asked me where 1 Thessalonians was, I never heard of him. But Genesis, yeah, that's the first one. I know that one. But as we look in Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar." And these people are older people, and you'll notice that God had already told her she was going to give birth to a child, and he'd be a blessed seed of God. And, of course, she tries, like most people do, instead of going to the throne, they go to the phone, try to fix the problems this way, except they didn't have cell phones, so she did it the old-fashioned way. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." Now watch this. This is the cause of a lot of wars and a lot of deaths right here. "And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai." If he wouldn't have done that, there'd be no Muslims on planet Earth right now. What, is there some here? I mean, this is a Baptist church, right? This is America. I still say what I want to, right? Good, good. You guys in the service, y'all suffered so I could do this, right? Well, I want to do this. I want you to notice this next verse, though. "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her handmaid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife." Now, it's the will of God for Abram and Sarah to have children, but it wasn't the will of God for Abram and Hagar to have children. I got two statements I wrote down here that I think are very important, and you listen to me carefully, especially you single girls. It is never God that sends a woman another woman's husband. Amen. Number one, that's it. Number two, it is never God's will for someone to commit adultery to accomplish what the Lord said to do. Those are plain, truthful facts. And it says in verse 4, "And he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, Behold, thy maid is in thy hand. To do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt with hardly with her, she fled from her face." Now watch this. She told that girl to do that, and that girl was despised in her eyes. Why? You ladies that had children, why was she mad? She knew what was coming. And it wasn't even going to be her kid. She knew that if she had that child, she'd probably take that child from her. She had suffered through all that and then had to give that kid up.
Yeah.
But watch this. Says she fled from her face. In verse 7, get your pen ready. "And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur." I want you to underline that phrase, "the Lord found her." We're going to come back to that in just a minute. The Lord found her. "And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said to her, Return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said to her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude." Now, we're introduced to someone named the angel of the Lord. And in the Old Testament, when you see the phrase the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, that is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ.
Right. Yep.
So how do you know? Because only God can multiply somebody's seed like that.
Yep. Right.
He only told that to two people. Abraham and this Egyptian girl.
Yep.
Now I want you to notice also, he didn't say this seed was going to be blessed like he did the Israeli seed.
All right. Yeah. Come on.
Abraham's seed was going to be blessed. This one wasn't. But what he says about it, listen, we see about this thing here about the angel of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 22, the angel speaks, and again it says, the Lord said. So we know who that is. And it says, and the angel of the Lord said to her in verse 11, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And here he is right here in verse 12, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Where is he at right now? He's amongst Jews everywhere he's at. Wherever you find a Muslim, you find a Jew. It just happens that way for some reason. What's the Muslim doing? Trying to kill the Jew, trying to kill the white man, trying to kill the black man. That's what they do. They have their hand against every man, including other Muslims. I've heard people say for years, and I talked to this Muslim one time that owned this restaurant in town. I was talking to him about the Lord. He said, well, why y'all got so many divisions of Christianity? Y'all all divided up. I said, you want to talk? I said, man, listen, I've been watching the news since I was a kid. I said, Iraq's been versus Iran, Iran's versus Iraq, the Shiites against the Sunnis and everything else. I said, don't talk to me about infighting on your religious crowd. I said, at least all we do is split churches. Y'all split skulls. I mean, there's a difference, right? He said, you got a point there, man. I said, I know I got a point there. I watch the news. I see stuff. And I hear the wrong thing when I watch. And the Bible tells us he's a wild man. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Wherefore the well was called Beer Lahai. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And watch this, verse 16. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. When this next chapter starts, it's going to let you know that Abram was 90 years old. He is 90 years old and 90. He's 99 years old. Back here it said he is 86 years old. That's 86. It not only affected, Sarai by what she did and Abraham what he did, but can you imagine God being silent to you for 13 years because of that? Mercy. Just shut heaven completely down. No more talking to Abraham. Just silence. Mercy. See, this affects everybody. Now watch back in verse number 7. The Lord found her, right? Can I get a witness that God's good today? Can you imagine being old Hagar over here? You're there in the middle of nowhere. It looks like time's about to run out on you. It looks like you run out from the only place that there was food and shelter and things like that. You go out there in the wilderness out there trying to get away from all that.
Yeah.
Oh, but then there's God. I want you to notice some things today where he found her. God found her where he finds all sinners. Number one, mark this down. He found her in the wilderness in verse 7. He found her in the wilderness. God found her in the wilderness. I got to notice as I looked at this, how did God know she would be there? Well, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So we know for a fact that God found her in the wilderness because that's where God looks for sinners. I got to look at that word wilderness and trying to discern some things about what was going on right there with her in that whole area right there. And I keep seeing the word wild right there. And when I think of the word wild, that's where anything goes. She was out in a place where there was no rules, there was no governing body, there was no people out there, there was nothing there. All you could do is anything you wanted to and whatever your heart's desire was. And no matter how wicked, it didn't matter because there was just a judge-free zone, remember? There was nobody out there. This was the mission field. And I'm glad, thank God, the missionary showed up because it didn't say he sent somebody, it said he found her. When there's somebody out in the wilderness like this, and you look out there and you see him, I remind you in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that the Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost.
Yes.
Listen, when you're out in the wilderness, you may be in the wilderness right now, you may be buck wild, but let me tell you something, you're going to find out that you ain't looking for God, he's looking for you. Boy, I like that right there.
Yes.
There's no food, no shelter, no way to live. And what'd God do? He took time out of running the universe and went down there and dealt with somebody who was committed adultery, been sleeping with somebody's husband over there, went down there and dealt with her and all this other stuff, got all the excuses out of the way, and dealt with her personally right where she was. He didn't say, listen, Sarah, I'll tell you what, why don't you send word to your handmaid out there in the middle of nowhere, tell her she'll come to church and get right, I'll start talking to her.
Come on.
That ain't how God works. God goes and finds sinners where they're at, in the wilderness.
Right.
I'm glad God looks in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but can you look back at a time and place in your life when you remember you was out in the wilderness and nobody's out there? You was wild as a buck. You was out there running free, doing whatever you wanted to. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, you wasn't even asking for it. And God never forget that day. Listen. When you're out in the wilderness and God saves you, the beer gets poured out, the liquor gets poured out, the marijuana gets flushed down the toilet. I mean, listen, you start repenting of things you didn't even think was wrong until God showed up.
Yes.
Boy, I like this.
Amen. I like it.
I want to make a lap, but I'd probably pass out if I did.
Amen.
But I see that God found her in the wilderness. But if you notice in verse number 7 there, watch this. The Lord found her, it says, and the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. He not only found her by the in the wilderness, but he found her by the water. You know where God finds all the sinners at? By the water. Now, I'm not talking about the beach or the mountains where the lake is.
Good.
So y'all get off your little high horse about, he's fixing to blow up the beach again. Bless your heart, I wish I was there right now. The weather's better down there right now here.
Yeah.
The only thing down there is warm weather and Yankees. I'd be all for it. Amen. I'd love to be there right now. I like retired old folks from up north. They love being down here just like I do. Amen and amen, friend. And listen, we teach them nice southern hospitality. They go back up there and the whole New York City about collapses from all that niceness. They can't take it. That's a true story. Now listen to this. God found her by the water. It's a miracle. It's a miracle to find water in the wilderness. Have you ever thought about that? In about 450 years or so from this time, I think it is, maybe 600, I got my calculation, but it's 600. In Exodus 15, the children of Israel are out in the middle of the desert, and they can't find no water.
How about that?
They remind me of the church of today that we can't find the water.
Yeah.
Water in the Bible is a type of the Holy Spirit, a type of the Holy Scriptures. What's the church lacking? We don't know where the Bible is. We don't know where God is.
Yeah.
Now, we out in the wilderness. And I see there that when you find water in the desert and things like that, over in Exodus 15:22, the Bible says this. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Notice they left the big old body of water that had a gap in it, and God closed it in. They got 3 days out there, and there's no water. What happened? God sent a miracle so they could have water.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something? Before Hagar ever got to where she was going, God had already sent the water for her to run into.
Amen.
Listen, when you're under conviction, you try to run from God. You run from the church house, but you try to run from God, you're going to find out wherever you're going, God's already there.
Yeah.
You're going to say, that Bible's a book of fairy tales, but everywhere you show up, it's a Bible verse for some reason.
Amen.
God sent the Word. God sent the Spirit.
Yeah.
Water is a type of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us, listen, in John chapter 6, verse 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And I'll raise him up at the last day.
Yeah.
You say, listen, has it ever occurred to you that you draw water just like God draws sinners?
Yeah.
And how does he do it? By the Holy Spirit, his type of water.
Come on.
Listen, when God shows up in a sinner's life and he shows up in conviction, it's like water. He just gets all over you.
Yeah.
You ever tried to walk out in the rain and not get wet?
Yeah.
Everybody tries, but it's called an umbrella and it still don't work.
Come on.
I bought a jacket a while back down in Columbia, and it was a water repellent jacket. And from here to here to here to here, every time water hit me, it rolled off. I used to like to go out in the rain just to wash that. Boy, I like that thing. But I noticed something. Here and here down and on these, that water didn't roll off quite as good. Only time it rolled off after this thing got soaked. Now, it'd run off my head being soaking wet, and I'd be about near pneumonia. But when it hit the jacket, boy, it'd go right away.
Yeah.
I thought I needed the whole body covering after a while, the more I looked at it. But I noticed this. We still try to do that with umbrellas. How many of you have ever bought an umbrella and said, this will keep me dry the next, you know, pow, you pop that thing out there, and then the rain comes in like this?
Yeah.
We was on vacation one time. We discovered we had no umbrellas. And we couldn't let our handicapped kids get wet. They'd melt. They made out of sugar, see? And we went into this place, a sporting goods place, and I went in there and got the biggest umbrellas I could find that didn't have to have just be sitting in a table. Got them things out there. Pow! And the first thing Lisa says, Justin's getting wet. I said, honey, they're going to get wet. This is not keep all the water off. This is some of the water. But when God deals with you, you can try to put up a defense of anything. You know what he's going to do? He's going to blow the water inside of things. Ain't God good?
Yeah.
Listen to this one. Water being the type of the Holy Scriptures, listen to this. The very book that we've all said in our past, oh, well, that's just a book of stories. It may be God's Word, but it's not all of God's Word and all this other stuff. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Nobody can get saved apart from faith. The only way you can get faith is out of the Bible. So how does that work? God deals with somebody. He sends the Scripture their way. The Scripture convicts their heart. The Holy Spirit of God draws into Christ. Where did he find her by? He found her by the water, same place he found you.
Right.
And listen, before the devil ever tells you, well, you don't need the Bible, listen, you got religious without the Bible. I'll remind you of this. There's not a person, a saved person in this building today that did not get saved till after they heard the gospel from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit of God's power on that book and God's Holy Spirit of God dealing with that heart.
Yes.
That's how he does it.
Amen.
So what does that got to do with water?
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence he found her by the water.
Yeah.
But number three, look in that verse. It says here, now watch this. He said, the angel of the Lord, verse 7, found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. He found her in the way. You know where he finds all sinners? In the way. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And when he found her because of one reason. When she got out there in the wilderness and she had no place else to turn to, she turned to the water. When she turned to the water, the Lord starts speaking to her. Now she belongs to him, and now he'll always be able to find her because now she's in the way.
Right.
Isn't that good? There's never going to come a time when little Miss Hagar here is going to be lost. Now, she may have gave birth to a descendant of wild men and all that, but I'm going to tell you something that you ain't seeing. Out of the midst of the friend of God over here lying about his wife and doing this other stuff and then listening to her when she was trying to fix God's problems without God's help and the adultery and all that other stuff that happened, God reaches right down in the middle of that and saves that girl. You say, I don't believe she's saved. Well, when I get to heaven, I'll tell her you said it. Say, well, if she ain't there, then you tell her where you go. Listen, hey, he found her in the way. Where does God find all sinners? When he saves them, he finds them in the way.
Yeah.
He finds them in Christ. God is only looking in Christ to find believers. When Jesus said, I am the way, he didn't say I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. There is no religion, there is no cult, no sect, no ism, no anything outside of Jesus Christ that goes to God's heaven.
Amen.
When he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, he meant that thing.
Yeah.
He didn't say, I'm discluding everybody. No, he's including everybody.
Right.
He said, if you want to get in, I'm the way.
Yes.
Hey, he said, all that ever come before me were thieves and robbers. He said, when they come any other way, he said, but I am the way. He found her in the way. And when she got in Christ, God never lost track of her.
Yeah.
You'll find out later in the Bible that she gets sent out and everything like that. And she's despised and hated. And that happens to people when they get saved. All of a sudden, the people you used to hang around with despise and hate you. She sent her out there and she set her baby down and thought to die out there and couldn't bear to watch that child die. But I'm telling you, God showed back up again because she is in the way. He knows how to take care of His own. He knows how, listen, He knows how to bring water when there is no water. He knows how to bring something there in the middle of provision when nothing else is provided. He knows how to take care of His people no matter how it gets like that. He found her in the way. I've heard people say, you Christians think Christ is the only way. No, we don't think that. We were told that by Him and we trust Him. And we know this. Be it a Jew, a Jehovah's Witness, a Muslim, a Mormon, a Catholic, or whatever. You come to Christ, you can be saved. Even a sorry, low-down, lost Baptist can come to Christ and be saved. And not only is God only looking in Christ, God only accepts those in Christ, no matter who they are. It's going to be tough when a lot of people get to heaven and find out that God really wasn't looking to see how well you lived to get you into heaven. He's not going to look to see how good you were. He's not going to look to find out whether or not you prayed before every meal. He's not going to look at your tithing record and say, my, you just tithe 10 cents on everything. You are just the perfect person. There's only two perfect people in the world. You know who they are? One's Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the other one is your wife's ex. I witnessed a man one time. I said, I want to introduce you to a perfect person. He said, my wife married him before she married me. I said, you're kidding me, man. He said, everything I do, she says, well, he did such and such. I said, I can relate with that. I said, I have people who went to other churches. I said, their former pastor must have been a genius. Why'd they ever leave him? All joking aside, listen to me very carefully. He found her in the way. That's where God's looking. He's only looking for those in Christ. I know I've dealt with a lot of people at altars before when they come down and God deals with their heart and they're under conviction. But the most interesting things I hear sometimes are the things they say after they get saved. You know what they are? I was trying to work my way to heaven. Church people trying to work their way to heaven. They go to a church where the Bible is the final authority. The gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. For by grace are you saved. And what were they doing? Trying to work to get to heaven. Doing all kinds of things to get to heaven. I had a man tell one time in Bible college. He said I was on every committee, but he said the only one I wasn't on was the women's committee in the church. He said, and I could have probably chaired that one pretty good because I understood them people. All I had to do was be quiet and let them run it. He told that thing in the hospital bed. I was sitting there listening to him. I said, so you've done everything in a church. He said, yeah, but I still need to get saved. He said, I was trying to work my way to heaven. I said, what happened to you? He said, finally God knocked on my door and dealt with me. He said, I really wasn't working my way to heaven. He said, I was just basically out in the wilderness like everybody else.
Right.
But that night at the revival meeting, the water got poured out. The way showed up and he got in the way.
Yep. Come on, man.
Listen to me. I see people all the time trying to figure out a way they can go any way but God's way. God is not interested in our good works to get us to glory.
Amen.
He's interested in us trusting His only begotten Son, who not only came born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, the only perfect man, died an atoning death on that cross, suffered, bled, and died for your sins and mine, was buried, and 3 days later, up from the grave, He arose.
Yeah.
And 40 days later, He's seated at the right hand of God making intercession for the saints. He even told His disciples, He said, you're blessed just for seeing me. He said, but there's coming a day when they're going to be blessed that believe on me having never seen me.
Yeah.
That's you and I.
Amen.
And God is not looking for our works. He's looking for the way. I'm glad to report to you today, the offer's still open. As long as you're breathing, there might still be a chance for you. Hey, listen, hey, nobody in this world has to die and go to hell when Jesus Christ has paid your sin's penalty. Nobody has got to, listen, nobody is destined for hell when they've had the offer of the gospel there. They've been given the option of turning to the Master and being saved. I've heard people give things about religion all my life. I'm so sick of religion, I hate it myself. But I know this much, I know when God saves a sinner, they get access to God through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And boy, I like that.
Amen.
You may be in the wilderness today. You might be wild. But guess what? The water's here today. The way's here today. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around.